Hi, I'm Dan Slepian, a Dateline investigative producer for more than 25 years. I hope you're already following my new podcast, Letters from Sing Sing. You're about to hear a clip from the fourth episode where I track down two of the jurors in JJ's trial. What they said stunned me, and I think it'll stun you too. After the clip, you can hear the rest of this episode and other episodes. Just search for Letters from Sing Sing wherever you're listening, and make sure to follow the podcast. Thanks.
Just start by telling me your first and last name and spelling.
My name is Ramon Aviles. R-A-M-O-N. Aviles. A as in apple, V as in Victor, I-L-E-S.
What juror number were you?
I was juror number 6.
Juror number 6. He was the one who that 84-year-old witness, Dorothy Kennedy, picked out as the gunman. To me, it was one of the strangest moments in JJ's trial. I got in touch with Ramon in 2011, more than a decade after JJ's conviction, and he still remembered that moment.
She pointed me out, which was something I never expected, but it was laughed at, it was funny in a sense. I caught on to it because I saw the other jurors looking at me. And when I realized, I went, whoa. Did she just pick me out? It was like, now there's something wrong with that, you know? I mean, here she is. She's at the witness stand, and she's pointing at the jury box.
After that happens, and you're in a deliberation room, how do you vote guilty?
That's a tough one. That's definitely a tough one. It kept coming back to the girlfriend.
Ramon told me some of the jurors didn't believe JJ's girlfriend Vanessa when she testified that he'd been at home talking with his mother the morning of the murder. They thought Vanessa was covering for JJ. And once they doubted Vanessa's story, they had trouble believing JJ and his mom too.
What was the first vote? Do you remember the first vote?
It was pretty much split in the middle. Almost.
Between?
Guilty and innocent. Actually, there was some emotions there that were pretty... You can see people were feeling it, emotion-wise. It got pretty heated after a while.
It got heated in the room?
Heated plenty of times.
In what way?
I mean, first we were bickering. It was going back and forth, back and forth between innocent and guilt. Some people weren't sure. For me, it was lack of evidence to state that he was at that location.
He says the jurors were stressed and worn out, especially because they had been sequestered. They couldn't go home until they reached a verdict. Remember, the jury got the case on a Wednesday and deliberated for 3 full days.
I think it was Friday. If I recall, a lot of the jurors were discussing about, oh, I'm going to lose out on my weekend. Some people say they have to work. Some people, you can see that it was getting to them. We were all tired. We were frustrated. It got to a point that it was just, you can see the toll it was taking, especially on some of the older jurors that were like, you can see, people were talking about they need to get back into their life.
But you knew what was on the line.
Yes, of course. There's a man's life on the line. That's something, I've never done that before. You're about to put somebody away, but I didn't want to think that way, but that was the case. And then once we announced the verdict, it didn't feel good at all. The only thing I can do is just look at the mother and turn away because I didn't know what to do after that. I thought I made a mistake. I really think I didn't do the right thing.
I'd already had my own doubts about JJ's conviction. But what this juror told me took it to a whole new level. And it turns out he wasn't the only juror that felt that way. I'm Dan Slepian, and this is Letters from Sing Sing. Episode 4, Peer Pressure. I am driving out to Long Island right now to see this juror, to hear what she has to say. So we'll see what she says. I tracked down another juror from JJ's trial. She agreed to meet with me as long as I didn't disclose her name.
How are you?
When she sees me, she immediately starts to tear up. So... you walked into this room crying.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I just,
I've ruined somebody's life. That's how I feel. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just such a horrible feeling to have over your head. This is the only, I'm so lucky because this is the only regret I've ever had about anything. And I just feel so responsible because if I would have held my ground and said, no, I don't care how long we're here for, because I never thought he was guilty. I never thought he was guilty from the get-go. I never thought he was guilty.
So why did you defy the way you felt?
Because I felt the pressure, the immense pressure in that room. There were a few older people, and they were like, this is ridiculous. He killed a cop. And this, like, he didn't kill the cop. You don't know that.
Tell me about the deliberations.
Okay. After we got out, you know, the first day of trial, everyone was, like, exhausted, and we were all trying to figure out, like, a timeline that would make sense because we got all this information, but none of it made sense.
For the people who were saying that he was guilty and they were so certain about that, do you remember what their argument was?
Between me and you, I think some of those people, and I don't know if I'm correct in saying this, I think some of the people in that room might have been racist because all they knew, all they had in their head was, there's a cop that's dead, we have to defend the police.
That's it.
And I remember saying, this is a 23-year-old kid. That's what I said. He's a young boy. We're going to put someone in prison for the rest of their life, and we're not 100% sure? They were totally reasonable doubt. That's why I have such high emotion, because in my heart of hearts, I knew he was innocent. But I could not get enough people to see that point.
Now you're sequestered. Do you remember being sequestered?
Yep. We were taken in that little van, I don't know, to someplace in Queens, I think by LaGuardia Airport. That's where we went. And we were all in our separate rooms, and it was horrible.
It's horrible.
Horrible. Who could sleep? I couldn't even sleep.
So take me to this moment now on Friday afternoon at that final vote.
Friday afternoon. I think there was just two of us left that said, he's innocent. We believe he's innocent. It's like everyone was like leaning in, looking like, come on, come on. Like, we want to go home, basically. That's what it was. It's like a life against we want to go home. And I just said, all right.
What is going through your mind when everyone is staring at you at that moment?
Complete peer pressure. People would be mad because then it would have meant going back to be sequestered for Saturday.
You didn't want to hang in long enough to make it a hung jury?
I guess I don't think I understood that I could do that, because if I thought I could, I would have done that.
What you're essentially saying to me is that JJ was convicted not necessarily because of the facts or the evidence, but because the jury was tired and wanted to go home. Is that true?
I'd have to say yes. I think that's the truth, yes.
When the jury headed back into the courtroom to deliver the verdict, she says she felt horrible.
Everyone, you know, like, looked at us, and I remember he was looking at us, and I kept my head down a lot of times, and they went around and asked us each, you know, what we thought with each charge. And then they said, thank you very much for your service. We got up.
Did you look at him?
Oh, my God. I couldn't, no. I couldn't look at him. I walked out. And as soon as I got, I guess, in the hallway right beyond the courtroom, very close to the judge's chamber, I just lost it. I just started crying, and he pulled me in. He goes, sit down. He goes, calm down, calm down. He goes, you did a service. You did the right thing. And I was like, I don't think I did the right thing.
How long did it sit with you?
A while. I mean,
it looks like it still is.
It is, because it's a terrible thing. We have a house upstate. We would drive by. Like, I knew Ossining and I knew Sing Sing. And then when I connected everything, My husband's like watching me, like look out the window, and he's like, "What's up?" Because I haven't really. I spoke to him about this a little, but he has no idea how upset I was about it. It's just a horrible feeling that I carry around because I ruined somebody's life.
You feel like you did the wrong thing?
Totally did the
wrong thing. From the beginning, though.
From the beginning.
It was hard for me to process what I just heard. On the one hand, I felt enormous empathy for this juror. She seemed honest and vulnerable, and she didn't have to talk to me, but said this had been weighing on her conscience, that she'd been haunted by her decision to convict JJ since the day of the verdict. But on the other hand, she believed he was innocent and still voted to convict because of peer pressure. That fact alone made me wonder, if the jury hadn't been sequestered, would JJ have been convicted? We'll obviously never know the answer to that question. But here's something interesting. In 2001, 19 months after JJ was found guilty, New York State changed the law. It's no longer standard practice to sequester juries in criminal cases. For more of this incredible story and other episodes in this podcast, go to the link in the description of this clip or search Letters from Sing Sing and follow the podcast. I hope you do.